Welcome to Missouri Medical Focus. I'm Jeff Helsher. With me today is Dr. Michael Cooperstock. He's the medical director of the Infection Control Department at University of Missouri Healthcare. It's that time of the year where concerns of influenza arise. Dr. Cooperstock, tell me a little bit about influenza. What exactly is it?
Influenza itself is a virus, and it's a respiratory virus, meaning it causes a stuffy nose and a sore throat and a cough. It's one of very many respiratory viruses that we have, cold viruses and the like, but it's probably the worst of the common cold viruses in terms of what it can do. So it's important in terms of causing more severe illness in people than the average virus and potentially being even lethal.
I hear it quite a bit where people will say, well, you know, I have stomach flu or I have the flu and I can't do this. What are the signs and symptoms of influenza? Or is there a way of distinguishing it between some of these other things that people probably have that aren't influenza?
Well, influenza comes along in the wintertime pretty much every year, as do many other viruses. And so it's not clear whether you really have the flu or not. And at this time of the year, if you've gotten a respiratory tract infection, it's probably not influenza because influenza is not quite here yet. We're expecting it to appear in the next few weeks or so. But even nationally, it hasn't really been cooking up quite yet. There's been a low level even through the summertime, but the real epidemic hasn't really come to us yet. And when it does, you ask, what were the symptoms? Commonly in adults, the first symptom is a fever and achiness and just not feeling well. Sore throat and headache go with it. Not so much intestinal symptoms. You know, I have the intestinal flu, then it's really not influenza. It's some other virus, most likely.
You mentioned that, you know, some of the symptoms, and it sounds like it's very close to, say, the common cold, what I would equate to a common cold. Is there anything that sets it apart?
It's a little different between children and adults. Children can present with any of the kinds of respiratory tract infections that we're used to, sore throat, a cough, an earache, you name it. But the key is the way adults behave with the flu. And it's usually a high fever, 102 or more, and it feels sick enough, achy and sick enough to be in bed. So my question for if I'm seeing a child with a fever and it's flu season, I'll say, well, has anybody at home been sick? And if I find out that there's an adult in the family who's got 102 fever and is in bed, that's pretty much all I need to know to be pretty sure it's the flu, given that we know flu is in the community already. So it's not quite there yet, but when it comes, that's sort of the easy guideline that I would use.
You said you're starting to see cases of influenza.
We've had a very few so far out of last count, out of 250 tests done in our institution wide. Three were positive for flu, and that is not more than background, really.
Okay. Well, when does the main season hit, and then when does it end?
Well, it varies from year to year, but usually it appears sometime in November or so, peaks in December, January, somewhat in February, and by mid-March, it's pretty much on the decline. Occasionally, it'll go out into April.
You're listening to Missouri Medical Focus on KBIA 91.3 FM, and we're discussing influenza. Dr. Cooperstock, vaccination, how important is it?
Well, considering the fact that in this country, in an average influenza season, something like 200,000 people are hospitalized every year, and of those, 20,000 to 30,000 die, it's an important virus. And given that we have a vaccine, actually two different vaccines that can protect one from this, the vaccine really is considered very important.
I hear a lot of people say, I'm not going to get the vaccine because it makes you sick. How true is that?
Jeff, that's one of my favorite questions because we hear it all the time. And it turns out when you do research on this, remember that the flu vaccine is being given usually in October or so, which is a time when all those winter viruses are starting to come sweeping in. And so it's very common for someone to have to catch a virus, an ordinary virus, right around the same time they're getting the flu shot. So it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, I got sick from the vaccine. But the truth is, if you give a placebo shot, and that's been done in several good studies, the incidence of side effects is almost exactly the same as it is from the flu shot. In other words, these are symptoms that a person would have gotten anyway. The only side effect that's clearly attributable to the vaccine in adults, at least, is a sore arm.
And I would imagine in a lot of different vaccines or any kind of injectable that that's possible, correct?
Right. It's very easy for a person to think just because something happened right after something else, the first thing caused the second thing. And that's not always true, and both of them are very common, getting flu shots and getting variety of infection-like symptoms occur commonly. So just by chance alone, the two are going to come together.
What do you tell people when they say, well, I was vaccinated for influenza and I still got influenza? What do you say there?
Usually they say that with a certain note because they know that I'm a proponent of the vaccine, and they'll say, Dr. Cooperstock, in spite of taking your vaccine as if it were mine, I got the flu anyway. But I know what to say because the scientific data supports the statement that you're very lucky that you got the vaccine, because even though the vaccine doesn't protect everybody completely, if you do get the flu after the vaccine, it's going to be much milder. So you would have been much worse. So you would have been much worse off if you hadn't had the vaccine.
In terms of protecting yourself, it sounds like that's a good move to make every year. But what about the community in general? Do we have an obligation, or should we feel like we have an obligation to get vaccinated?
Yes, Jeff, we call that herd immunity, as if we were cattle. So if you protect enough people in the community, the virus has a harder time spreading from one person to the next because a lot of the people are resistant to it. And you'd be surprised, it doesn't take that many as even less than half of people being immunized tends to protect all the rest. So yes, you get the vaccine primarily to protect yourself. However, you also get the vaccine to protect your family. That is, if one person is going to bring the virus home to the family, everyone else is at risk. And if it's a person, particularly a person who's at risk of getting serious complications of the flu, you're protecting them as well. So adults can protect their children by getting themselves immunized. Likewise, our children being immunized can protect the rest of the family. And so that if there are contacts who are particularly young infants or elderly people, anybody over 65 considered elderly, or someone who's got otherwise underlying diseases, be it asthma or immune compromise from cancer or whatever, you can protect those people by immunizing the healthy people in the community.
That's my time for now. I'd like to thank Dr. Cooperstock for being my guest. From Missouri Medical Focus, I'm Jeff Helscher.